Let's get right into the Word of God. You guys ready? All right. Well, let's look at, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. And last night was awesome. If you didn't get a chance to come to the chili cook-off, the place was packed with people, and there were some folks there I didn't even know. So, awesome. And again, we raised the exact amount, was $417 for our kids to go to Kids Blast at Kalahari. So, and Natalie, thanks again for putting it on. Did a great job. We're going to continue to do things as well. Next month, we've got a family night set here for everybody to come and to have a movie night. So that's going to be coming up in February. So just be paying attention and watch out for that. All right? So Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, it says this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of preaching your word today. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow my words to be concise and clear and anointed. And I pray, Father, that each and every heart in this place would be receptive to your word, like sponges, to receive your word today and put it in action in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says again, Colossians 3, 1 through 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, then set your mind on things above. Now, I was reading that scripture and I was thinking, okay, so they put this in the right order. A lot of times what we do is we set our minds instead of setting our hearts first. And really, to be honest with you, the heart is where we need to start. Now, I have learned in my adult years that change does not come easy. Can I get a amen? The rest of you just don't want to admit it. Y'all didn't say amen, all right? But you don't want to admit it, but that is so true. It is hard to change as an adult. When you can help develop change in children, they're like, well, okay, I'll go that way. Okay, fine. So you're setting and instilling in your kids change and healthy habits and all these different things. But as an adult, we've already been set in our ways, right? It's hard to change. That's why statistics say that if you're going to receive Christ, you're going to do it before you're 18 years old, because after that, you're set in your ways. It's hard to be, it's not that you can't, but you're set in your ways. And you put your heart toward who you are, right? It's hard to change as an adult. I mean, think about it. Eating habits, man, that's hard to change, right? I mean, especially when a church is doing chili cook-offs. I mean, come on, right? And we're not talking about just one thing of chili. We're talking about how many entries were there? 7. And not just chili. We didn't stop there. We just broke the mold and we went on. We baked cookies. We had cakes. We had pies. It was ridiculous. I mean, I went home hurting last night. But anyway, it's eating habits, political views, morality, lifestyles, religion, and attitudes are all very hard to change once they're set in your heart. It's how we define ourselves, really, right? All of those things wrapped up into one make us who we are. But as Christians, change comes with the territory. If you are a Christian and change isn't part of your DNA, then you become part of the problem. That's hard. But if we're not changing as believers means this, that we are subjecting ourselves to the Word of God and to the voice of God, and whenever correction comes by the Holy Spirit, we've got to change. And we change by repentance, not by setting our mind, but by repentance. Because repentance means that we have confessed in our heart that something needs to change. And when repentance flows, when we say, Father, give me strength to be more like you, give me more strength to overcome in this situation, then our hearts are open to receive that change. And then after that, then we can set our minds on changing. Because we're not just going to repent and change. We're going to repent, set our heart toward Christ, and then He is going to direct us, and we're going to set our minds toward Him. That's how it flows. Now, I want you to understand that my remarks will be direct this morning and sometimes blunt, but if you choose to receive these words today, they will change not only your behavior, but it'll penetrate your heart as well. Because change doesn't start with your mind. It starts with your heart. Your heart, not your physical beating heart, but I'm talking about the place where your will lies. About where your affection lies. About where your belief lies. Because it's in those things that God truly begins to change us and mold us into who He wants us to be. And by the way, being a Christian is never about modifying your behavior. You can do that all by yourself. You can do that by reading self-help books. You can go to groups. You can go to all these different places and find change. You can do that to modify behavior, but that's not what God is after. Being a Christian is about dying to yourself so that Christ can do the work in you. Christ doesn't modify behavior. He makes you new. Amen? He doesn't just modify your deeds. He doesn't just modify your attitude. He makes all things new. He makes all things new. He creates inside of you something that is unrecognizable to both you and to everyone around you. And it's not a holier-than-thou experience. It's not a religious experience. It's not rule-following that's going to change the DNA of who you are. It's being subject to Christ and His love for you and allowing Him to penetrate not just your habits, not just your behavior, but your heart. Because your heart will dictate your behavior, right? So Scripture says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know that the heart is the wellspring of life. So Jesus didn't come to die to modify our behavior. He came to change our lives, to set us free from the law of sin and death. We have made religion about modification. Jesus came to set us free from all of that. From all of our rule following, from all of our good deeds, He came to set us free from all of that. And He has done something that we cannot do for ourselves, and that is free us from sin. It's a stain that we can't get out. It's a problem that we cannot solve. It's a sentence that we cannot commute. Only He can do. That's why Jesus is called the Savior of the world. He didn't come to modify us. He came to set us free. I've heard so many people try to understand why church folks are inactive in their attendance, unfaithful in their giving, absent in their serving, and the fruit of the Spirit and the mind of Christ is nowhere to be found in their lives away from the church. I've wondered, while watching Christians handle their children, handle their marriages, handle conflicts, handle their finances and difficulties in life and are not much different than their non-Christian friends. The answer is because Christ hasn't been allowed to penetrate their hearts. See, we respond to the word sometimes and we like, okay, I'm going to change this. But we can't change anything. Yeah, we can modify certain things and we can work to be better. We can go to groups to help us modify certain things and to help get us over those things. And I'm not advocating against those things. Those are good. But we've got to understand that if we're going to have lasting fruit, Scripture tells us that we've got to have fruit, not only fruit, but lasting fruit. So that others can taste and see that the Lord is good. Fruit that has no expiration date on it. That keeps repeating itself and over again. And the reason being so that people can taste and see from your life that God is good. You are His ambassadors. You can go around anybody that can modify themselves, and that's okay. But there has to be a difference between you and your non-believing friends. There has to be a difference, because we carry around inside of us the hope of the world. We have a cure that can set people free. If we had the cure of cancer, we wouldn't go around hiding it. We wouldn't go around throwing these crazy rules upon them that they've got to follow before we give them the cure. No, we would give it to them joyfully, because we're excited that we have figured it out, and we want you to have it so that you can be healed and set free from cancer. And that's what Jesus has done for us. He figured it out. He knew what His purpose was, and that is to seek and to save, that is, that which is lost, you and me. And He did it in such a way that He gave His life, He spilled His blood, so that we could not be modified, but that we could be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's that new creation experience that I'm after, that my heart longs for. I want something created inside of me that didn't originate with me. I want something created inside of me that my hands could not create. I want something inside of me that did not originate from my intellect, from my abilities, from my time, from my treasure, from my resources. I want something miraculous in my life, church. Because that is the difference. You don't need to go around proclaiming that you are a servant of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wear a shirt that says, "I belong to Jesus." You don't have to go around waving banners. Just let your life demonstrate who Christ is. Amen? Not just the good parts of your life, but all of it. God gets more glory through your pain than He does through your successes. Sounds weird, right? But in our pain, we can't do anything about it. Only He can. And it's only through what He can that He gets the glory. The psalmist said this. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." It is God who purifies and renews, not us. Scripture says, "There is none good, no, not one." Now, I'll be honest with you, that really offends me. When I first came to Christ, that little piece of scripture offended me. Because I'm thinking, hey, whoa, wait a minute. You don't know me, right? You don't know me, but He does know us. So what we do is we want to lift up all of our good deeds to God and say, "We're good. I'm good." We need to understand that there is only one that is good, and that is Him. And look what He says is, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me. So what the psalmist is saying here is that he is not capable of creating that himself. He is not capable of creating inside of himself a clean heart. And he's also saying that he cannot renew a right spirit within himself. So he's saying, "I can't do that. I need you to do that, Lord." So he's making a declaration. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." It is God who purifies and renews, not us. There are many people who are deceived into thinking that if they believe the right things, then that makes them okay with God. Now, don't get me wrong. What we believe matters. It matters. But if it never reaches our hearts, then it's useless. If all the teaching that we have accumulated through our church going never penetrates our heart to become part of who we are, then that teaching is useless. Case in point, I used to be part of a prison ministry in Savannah, Tennessee, and every other Thursday night we would go to the prison. And every other Thursday night, I'd see an old buddy sitting in jail. And they'd see me, and they'd want to run in the corner and hide. And I would always talk to them, and I'd say, hey, what's going on? What happened? Well, I don't want you to judge me. I'm humiliated. Look, I'm not judging you, okay? I sat in that cell too. So, Jimmy, how did you get out? How did you change your life? And I go, to be honest with you, I'm not capable of doing it. Well, how did you do it? Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my attitude. Jesus changed my hurts. Jesus exchanged hurt for beauty. He exchanged all the ashes for my life for joy and beauty. And I sat in there and I listened to some of these prisoners as well. And I, one time I was quoting a scripture and one of them spoke up and he goes, Jimmy, I think that scripture says this. And then I looked it up and sure enough, it did. And so I had to say, thank you for the correction. And I got to talking to the guy and I realized that he knew more scripture than I did. He could quote it book, chapter, and verse. Any scripture that you wanted to know about healing, about following Christ, about money, about relationships, about whatever you can imagine, he knew it through and through. He knew it. And so I asked him, I said, listen, with all the scripture that you know, you're putting me to shame. How did you get here? And he said this. He said, I never let it affect my heart. I never let it affect my heart. It became rules and words to live by, and that's it. This life that we lead, this Christ that said, come and follow us, is a real, living, breathing individual who walked the face of the earth and who is passionate about our souls. And he's not some rule that we follow. He is a Savior that we are to come under. Amen? He is the Savior and the lover of our souls. He's not just somebody that modifies our behavior. He is the Savior of our soul that has completely changed who we are. So it's not about just what we know. And as a matter of fact, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, watch your life and your doctrine closely. For in doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So what we think influences how we act as well. Paul told Timothy, a young pastor, he said, listen, watch your doctrine and your life closely. So it does matter what we believe. But the Pharisees, they believed too. They had head knowledge of God. They knew Scripture very well. Yet Jesus still had a problem with them. And there are also people in the church that think that if they do the right things, at certain times they will be in good standings with the Lord. They assume because they attend church, give tithes and offerings, and read the Bible occasionally that they are saved. But let me be clear, doing the right things alone will not save you. That's called good works. Right? It's called good works. It's called trying to earn your way to heaven. And that does not work. Scripture says, it's not by works, lest any man what? Boast. And boy, do we like doing that. We don't admit it, but it's true. We want our good works to be seen. We want our good deeds to be seen. We want our good words to be heard. But doing those things does not lead you to heaven. We can do all the right things at the right time and still bust hell wide open. Listen to what Jesus taught in Matthew 7. It said, Jesus is saying this about the last day on Judgment Day. He said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons? They thought they were saved because of what they have done. Jesus called that day the separation between sheep and goats. Sheep being his followers, goats being those that just are stuck to good deeds. And those people that are there before the judgment seat of Christ are saying, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name, didn't we drive out demons? And Jesus responded to them by saying, "Depart from me, you evildoers, I never knew you." He called their good works evil. That's sobering. Because a lot in those days will cast all of their trophies up before God and said, "This is what I have done. These are the rules I've followed. This is the stuff I've done. Here are all of my trophies. Be happy and be blessed." But on that day, tragedy will happen in their life because Jesus said, "Depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you." So why so harsh from the meek and lowly one, right? Why so harsh? And the reason why is, listen, the Pharisees did a lot of good too. Listen to all their accomplishments. They prayed regularly. They fasted more than the law required. They gave sacrificially. They attended worship services more than anybody else. They observed all the feasts and all the holy days, and yet Jesus still had a problem with them. Still, there are some other people that believe, and I'm about to wrap this up. Still, there's people that believe that because they don't do certain things, they are saved. They will say, "Because I am a good person and I don't drink to excess, I don't smoke, I don't cuss, I'm okay with God." We are not saved because of what we don't do. We're not saved because we don't smoke, cuss, chew, or go with girls that do, right? If you're going with a girl that chews, man, you need to talk to me, all right? We need to have a conversation, all right? Just throwing that out there, all right? So, but it's so true. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe that there are certain things we should not do as Christians, but the Pharisees avoided certain things as well, didn't they? They also avoided certain foods and other things that would make them unclean. From all outward appearances, these Pharisees had it all together, but Jesus still had a problem against them. The problem was, he said this to the Pharisees, we worship God with our mouths, but our hearts are far from Him. Right? We look at the Pharisees and we're like, man, guys, get it together, right? You're the protector of the law. You're the leaders. You're the religious leaders of the day. Get with it. But yet we're guilty of the very same things. We're guilty of trying to do and work our way into heaven. We're guilty of not doing certain things so that God will be pleased with us and we can be good enough to get into heaven. But we know that it's not about our works. It's not about what we can do. Because if it was, then Jesus died for nothing. His pain was for nothing. His blood was for nothing. His teaching was for nothing. We could be the Savior, our own personal Savior. We could worship ourselves, right? We could hang all of our accomplishments up and invite all of our friends into our house and play the highlight reel on our big, fat, 70-inch plasma TV. And we could play the highlight reel of our life, all the accomplishments that we have done. But Jesus did, He came to do something we could not do. And that's to free us from the stain of sin. There was a businessman who owned a warehouse, and our church is in an industrial subdivision here, and he owned this big warehouse, and it was empty for a long time, and because it was empty, it fell prey to vandals, and they came and they busted in the doors, they spray painted the outside, busted the windows, threw trash everywhere. There were squatters in there, and he was trying to sell the place, so he cleaned it up as best he could. And he had a prospective buyer there, and he goes, "Don't worry about anything. I'm going to fix the doors. I'm going to clean off the spray paint. I'm going to get all the garbage out of there. I'm going to do all this stuff." And the buyer said this. He said, "When I buy this place, I am going to build something completely different, something entirely new. I don't want the building. I just want the site." And that's what God wants to do with our lives as well. God's not interested about what you have built for yourself. He wants to knock it all down so that He can build you back up into something new. And the site this builder is talking about is the foundation of where Christ can build upon our lives, and that is our heart. It all starts with the heart. Being good, church, is beneficial, but it's not enough. The fun starts when you give Him your heart, when you give Him your life, when you give that which you cannot do for yourself, you give it over to Him. We sang that song, the second song. You can have it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Guys, it's only then that He causes you to truly be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Someone who can say with a new heart, I forgive you, and actually mean it. How can we ever love our enemies when all we want to do is hurt them before they hurt us? It's all about a clean heart, a pure heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's at that moment that we're changed. And yes, people can change their outer actions, but only Christ can change the heart of a person. The question today is this: has He changed yours? Has He changed your heart? Has He penetrated your heart? You can be going to church all your life, but never truly giving your heart over to Him. It's that kind of decision that you need to make today before you leave this building. It's imperative in your walk with Christ. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray over you. And I'm not going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to make a declaration today. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, maybe you've got all the religious knowledge that you possibly can imagine, and yet it has not affected your life. Maybe it's made you meaner. Maybe it's made you more self-righteous. Maybe it's made you feel entitled. But Christ is in none of those. He wants our heart. And so this morning, as we pray, I want you to ask God, Lord, would you search my heart? Would you see if there be any wicked way in me? That's what a believer prays. Not a religious person, a believer, a Christ follower prays. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray today that you would search our hearts, O God. Would you renew a right spirit within us? Would you create inside of us something that we could not create ourselves? Would you renew our heart? Would you search us and see if there be any wicked way in us this morning? Would you search my heart and see if there'd be any bitterness inside of me this morning? Unforgiveness inside of me this morning? Resentment inside of me this morning? Would you search my heart and see if there would be any brokenness in my life? Lord, and when you reveal it, Lord, I give it to you with an open hand, not closed fisted. Because my heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Today I choose to trust you, Lord. Today I make a declaration. I choose to trust you, Lord. I trust you with my life. I trust you with the brokenness. I trust you, Father, with the unforgiveness and the hurt. I choose to trust you through my sickness and through my pain, through my kids going crazy, through my marriage. I trust you. And so, Lord, you have my heart today. Today I slip a ring on your finger indicating that I am yours. I make a covenant with, not with my mind, but with my heart today, to serve you faithfully, to love you, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when I want to be mad at you, God, I still will trust you. So that we can be like Job that said, after his family had died, after his wife said, "Why are you holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." We can say, as Job said, "Though you slay me, yet I will trust you." And so, Lord, to you be the glory in my life. We choose today to lay our trophies down and to never pick them up again. Lord, may you lead and guide our lives today. May you give us strength in the difficult times. May you help us to remember in the good times where our help came from, where that victory came from, because our help is in the Lord. And so today, Lord, we choose to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we'll have some folks up here that are going to be praying for you. If you need prayer about anything, please come today and allow them to pray over you. Pastor Johnny and Gerald, if you guys would come up. Rob and Krista, Christy, if you come up and help out with that, I appreciate that. If you need prayer about anything at all, if you've made a decision for Christ today, come and let these folks know about it so they can pray with you and link arms with you. Amen? Listen, thank you guys so much for being here. You could have been anywhere else in Green Bay, but you chose to be here today. Thank you so much. Guys, I want you to, as you go out, shake somebody's hand, all right? Talk, enjoy one another's company, all right? God bless you guys. Enjoy the football game, right? You are dismissed. You are dismissed.